If you turn with me, we're going to be in a minute here in the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, and we're going to be in chapter 6. But what a year, 2020. A couple of friends of mine, every time because we've known each other for a long time, anytime something crazy happens in our circle of friends or something, we text each other the word bro, and we do like three dots, so capitalize bro, and it's like, the response is usually like, I know, and it's like, it's like code. As I look at 2020, I go like, bro, what was that? What is this? I mean, we learned what a lockdown was. We became paranoid over anyone and anything near us. I remember people posting things on the windows and when the initial shock in March and April, how we it's like we gotta stay home. Our doors of this church were closed for the first time, where we could not meet inside. I remember once or twice that I taught for Pastor Bill, and it was just that exit sign and Chris and Abby in an empty sanctuary. Daunting, scary, and it was a new thing. Some of us parents, we became homeschool teachers overnight. We learned what Zoom is. Now we all know what Zoom is. Google Meet. I was introduced to a new app called the Remind app. All these things that we never thought we would use. Some of us became IT specialists at our homes, running Wi-Fis and passwords and logins and things. All overnight. We ran out of toilet paper and paper towels. It was gold, white gold. We saw people. We saw the best in people. We saw the worst in people. Our living rooms became our sanctuaries as we were just watching Pastor Bill on the TV and the computer. It's so weird. I remember waking up the first Sunday or two Sundays. It's like, it's usually go time with my kids, and it's like, not today. We're just walking over to the couch and getting breakfast, and this is the new church for now. And of course, a new piece of apparel was added to our wardrobe. The ever so controversial, stinky, sweaty, annoying mask. You guys like carrying this thing around? It's like a new thing. I barely can keep up with my keys. Now I have to carry that. But it's the world we live in. Here's a shocker to me, and I talk about it often with my friends. In a matter of months, we welcomed, and almost effortlessly, we adopted a cashless society. That was quick. That was fast. 20 years ago, when I became a Christian, and I would read Revelation, and I would hear pastors like, yeah, there'll be no cash. And you know, that was a foreign thing, like, whoa, yeah, it will happen, but that's a way out there, right? And to see it happen now. I went to buy donuts the other day. There's a sign that says, please give us exact change because there's a national coin shortage. Coin shortage? First of all, who carries coins? And then it's a shortage? But it's the world that we live in. Some places you can't pay unless it's, you know, cashless. Our hands are the cleanest they've ever been. Ever. I cannot recall one. In fact, they're really clean. And on a more serious note, we got to see what people without Jesus are like when things go south. We saw riots. Just a couple of days, didn't we see a pretty big explosion in Nashville, which is pretty shocking. We saw what a hopeless, Christless world acts like. And it was pretty sad. Now, isn't that encouraging how we start this last service of the year? That was very encouraging. No, it wasn't. But here's what I think about. and we're going to get into our text in a minute. I believe 2020 showed us how much we depended on Jesus, or how little did we. It all depends on how we react to it. Those who have the hope of heaven, our sins forgiven, knowing that there is a place that God is preparing for us and that our citizenship is in heaven, we had that hope that we held on to, that we're holding on to even today to carry us through. And God is faithful, who carries us through till this day. We thought it was 2 weeks. It's been 9 months. And who knows how much longer. But God is faithful, who's carried us through till this day. We adapted, but we're here. We're crossing the finish line of 2020. I remember a year ago I was here for the last service of 2019. And I remember I said something that stuck with me. But you guys remember when 2019 was about to end and everybody was buzzing over 2020? Oh, 2020, the year of vision. In fact, I heard a guy do a sermon on 2020 vision right at New Year's. Oh, it's going to be the best year. We're going to have this vision. And And I remember I was here and I said, you know, all the resolutions by February all fail. 90% of them. Diets, workouts, all that. It goes down. How many, if we make a resolution, I said, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Matthew 6:33, I said that. And as I was putting this study together, I'm like, maybe that was from the Lord. Because it has been a year where we had to seek first the kingdom of God. We came to the end of ourselves, where we had nowhere else or no one else to look to but Jesus. And by the grace of God, he carried us through. So Matt, are you in 2 Samuel 6? Okay, yes, you are. So, before we pick up, let me give you a background of where we pick up in our story with David. David was anointed to be the king of Israel by Samuel many years ago when Saul was rejected because he was disobedient to the Lord. And he was going to be the king of Israel one day. So at this point in the timeline, David had just become the king of not only Judah, but all of Israel. So David is now the man, right? God's call upon his life, and he is now the king of all Israel. And as one of his first acts as a new king over the entire land is to bring back the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Now, those of you who are maybe not familiar with the Ark of the Covenant, I'm just going to very briefly explain that to you. It was a box about two feet tall by 3 feet wide. The word Ark means chest or box. And it was gold-plated, and inside were three things. Let's see who knows. All right. Manna, the law, the Ten Commandments, and excellent, Aaron's rod, right, who budded. And those three things were inside the box, and on top of it, for extra points, was the lid, which was called the mercy seat. Excellent. And that's where the Lord says, that's where I'll meet you, not in the law, but on the mercy seat. You had the two cherubims looking at each other, and that was the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant. Now, it had been taken by the Philistines, and they did not have a good time when they took it. In fact, they took it and took the Ark to their temple of their god, Dagon, and they put the Ark of the Covenant next to the statue of Dagon. You know the story. The first day, the thing tipped over and broke its head, and it's like 3 days in a row that thing just went to pieces, right? Because it's a false god. So after that, all those Philistines in that land got hit with, I thought about saying this, but it's in the Bible so I can say it. They got hemorrhoids, all of them. So they had a really hard time. And they said, let's get this thing out of here. No pun intended there. Let's get this thing out of here. So what they did is they put it on a cart and sent it. I know it's a long introduction, but it will all come together. They sent it to the house of Abinadab, which was a Levite, and they sent it. So it's been in Abinadab's house for 20 years. Now David, as one of his first actions as the new king over the whole land, is to bring the Ark back to Jerusalem, the city of David. And that's where we pick up our text. So verse 1 of chapter 6, it says, again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So David is now, again, the king of all of Israel, and he wants to bring back the ark, and he gathers the small crowd of 30,000 people. But not only just 30,000 people, 30,000 choice men. So leaders and popular and warriors and everything that you can be like, this is the best of the best. I'm bringing 30,000 of them. I'm going to bring back the ark to Jerusalem. Verse 3 says, then they set the ark on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. Now, 30,000 people. Let's put on a new cart. And let's get Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, which, by the way, they were Levites, to lead the parade. Now, interestingly enough, the name Uzzah means strength. And Ahio is friendly. So let's get our strength and strong guy and the friendly guy, if you will, to lead the charge. And Ahio is going to go before the ark. Now, if you know your Bibles, you would know that God gave very specific instructions in how to handle the every part of the tabernacle, every instrument, and the Ark of the Covenant. So you would know that this is not how the Lord instructed the Ark to be moved. Now, interestingly enough, they use a new cart. Now, remember 1 Samuel 6, which I just alluded to, when the Philistines sent back the Ark to Abinadab, they put it on a cart, right? They send it. Well, now David is saying, well, we're not going to use a cart. We're going to use a new cart. 2021 model. With all the bells and whistles. Nothing but the best. 30,000 parade. Strong Uzzah and Ahio, the friendly one, if you will. In a brand new cart. Nothing but the Lord. And then we're going to have the fog come out and the lights spinning. And we're going to have, this is a production David's putting together. It really is. Because as we're going to read in a minute here, in Numbers, God will say how to it was to be moved, transported. And you know, David, again, he at this time, he's not the young shepherd. He's fought many battles. He's fled. He's been humble. He's fled from Saul. He killed Goliath. He's well-connected. And therefore, the production that he's putting together. Verse 5, it says, then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps and stringed instruments, on tambourines and sistrums, which I don't know what that is, and on cymbals. What a party. If you put it in your mind's eye, you got the new cart, you got Ahio in the front, the friendly guy, you got 30,000 people. Now this journey was only about 10 miles. Sounds to me that that's a lot of people to move the ark for 10 miles. Now, everything is going. They got the music going. They got the new cart. They got the right people in the right place, the good faces. It looks good. It sounds good. And they are using a cart. Now, again, the Philistines, the flesh, the world, used the cart, and David is copying it, but he's put a new cart. There's always a problem. This should be the first red flag. There's always a problem when the church, the Christian, imitates how the world does things. I've been around the church long enough to see it from time to time. I'm not being super critical. But, you know, we're not to be and do things like the world does. We're not of this world. There's always a problem when the church, a church, starts imitating the world and how the world does things. We should not be concerned about how much we look like the world and spin it off. Oh, but it's Christian. We should be concerned on what the Lord thinks of how we do things and that we do things how he tells us to do it in his word. David was not supposed to have a parade of 30,000. He was not supposed to have it on a cart. And he was not supposed to have a big old party. There was a specific people, we're going to talk about that in a minute, that were to carry the ark. Not put it on, but they were to bear it. So verse 6, as the party is going, the parade is flowing, says verse 6, and when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. There is our first problem. Now, interestingly enough, it was at the threshing floor that things got a little bumpy. The threshing floor was, believe it or not, a floor, okay? And they will throw the grain, the grains on the floor, and they will have an animal pull like a long piece of wood that would grind, as the animal was walking around in circles, will grind the grains against the floor. And what that would do would separate the chaff from the wheat. It will just take the peel off, if you will. So after the animal would do that, it was a place of division, really, of the good and the bad. It will do that. And then after the animal was done, they will gather all that, and they will pick it up and chuck it in the air. And as they threw it in the air, the wind will blow. And what will blow away? The chaff. And what will fall to the ground? The seed, the good stuff. So it was a place of division, and it was there, at a place of separation, if you will, at Nacon's threshing floor, that things got tough. For the cart stumbled, the new cart, and Uzzah, Mr. Strongman, touched it, went to get a hold of it, so it wouldn't fall. In verse 7, it says, then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error. And he died there by the ark of God. Now, the ark could not be touched by anyone. I'll read it to you. It's in Numbers 4:15. It says, and when Aaron and his sons, this is the Levites, have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. So when they were to move the ark, they were to cover all the instruments, everything, all the furnishings inside the tabernacle. And the ark of the covenant had four rings on each corner. So they were supposed to put a pole, gold-plated pole, right through the rings. And then the Levites from the side of Kohath, they were to bear it on their shoulders. So they only really needed, if you do the math, four people to move the ark, not 30,000. And they were to bear it on their shoulders and carry it. Only the Levites from Kohath, not 30,000 on a new cart. And there we have it. God's anger was aroused and killed Uzzah for touching the ark. Now, you might say, wait a minute, Raul. Didn't you say that the Philistines put it on an ark? On a cart? Yes, they did. But the Philistines are not God's people. Huh? The Israelites are. The Philistines didn't have the law and the instructions. God's people are. See, there's no like, well, if we know to do the right thing, we're held to that standard. We can't call the cards. Like, well, I didn't know. Well, no, you did know, David. No, but you did know. You know what you're doing. So was David's decision a good one? I say yes. Meaning to bring the ark back, not to have the parade. Okay, to bring the ark to Jerusalem was a good thing. Yes, absolutely. Put the tabernacle together. Yes. Was it with the right motives? I would say so. I say that he did want God's presence back in the city. But was it done how God commanded it? No, it wasn't. There's two ways to do life. There's two ways to make decisions. God's way and everything else. The world's way, your way. But there's two ways. There's two ways to raise our kids. God's way or the world. There's two ways to behave at work. God's way or like everybody else. There's two ways to do ministry. God's way or like everybody else. Yes. In the days in the world we live in, doing things by the book, if you will, God's way, may come or may sound to some people as unpopular, old school, legalistic, maybe. But just because the world is changing, and the world changes how they do things and they view things, and telling you in 20 years, the mindset and how this world sees things has changed drastically. Even though the world changes and it's progressive, right? We're changing with the times. The Word of God never changes. It will never pass away. It'll remain forever. So we can be like, oh, we're going to change with the world to be more relevant. Oh, we're going to be more trendy. Oh, we're going to have the parade of the 30,000 and the new car and the fog machines and the dancing and the flags. We can never go wrong when we do things God's way. I know for a fact that's where the problem came. But you may say, well, David is the king. Isn't he like the sweet psalmist of Israel? Yes. Didn't he kill his 10,000? True. Wasn't he anointed to be the king? Yes. But I think there's something to see here, to be noticed. And please tune in. Because when we are cruising, when things are falling into place, we can become complacent of how we're doing things. Oh, okay, well, it's all good. Especially if you've been a Christian for a long time. Maybe the lines that you held back 20, 30 years ago and how you lived your life, they maybe have been pushed. Maybe they've been blurred. And now you're allowing things, I'm allowing things, we're allowing things in our lives that we wouldn't have 10, 20 years ago because we became complacent. Because, hey, I'm the king. I got resources. I got money. I got people. Let's put a party together. Let's ignore there for a little bit. Oh, four people on a card? I mean, there's no buzz on that. Where's the lights? Where's the music? Four people. Cool. Really? No. Let's put some season in this thing. Let's do it our way. There's two ways to do things. God's way or the world's way. I think of Joshua. Remember Joshua? He was told to go into the land of Canaan and what? Give everybody gifts. Tell them, hi, we're your neighbors. No, they were to what? Wipe everyone out. Not let them live. That was the promised land that God had given them. You guys know, remember the story there with the Gibeonites? Remember, they're going for it. God has given them, victory after victory after victory. They're plowing. They're doing what God told them to do. And there come this group of people that go like, man, these guys are going to kill us. So let's do this. Let's put on worn out clothes and holy shoes, messed up sandals and moldy bread. Remember that? And then we'll tell them, hey, we come from afar. We don't know what's going on here. Spare us. And they had some questions like, no. Look, the bread was fresh when we left. And look, it's all moldy now. See, this is how long our journey has been. And it says there in Joshua 9:14, I'll read it to you. It says, then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them. He made a covenant with them to let them live. And the rulers of the congregation swore to them. They did not ask counsel of the Lord. The ministry's going. It's booming. We're victory after victory. Of course, it's no big deal. Let's spare those people. Oh, let's just get the 30,000, get the new car. It's okay. God is okay with it. The Gibeonites came back to bite him later. Because we can become complacent. Because we can go and go and go and go. And it's working, it's working, it's working, it's working. It's okay, it's okay. Oh, grace, okay, push it aside. But from time to time, I believe the Lord will allow a threshing floor experience. A place where we hit a bump. It's like, oh, a recalibrate, a reset moment. Where we reset, you guys have your phones, that tells you about every 7 days, mine does. It's time to restart your phone, right? You get that message? It's pretty annoying. But every 7 days I get it. I have to, why? Because, we have some new updates. It's time to reset, to reboot, to start all new. David just hit a pretty big bump somebody is dead, the party's over. Because he did not do things the way God commanded him to do. And I'm gonna make a statement, and I prayed this one through, and I can stand behind it. It's not gonna sound good. But people in the world that we live in will not be drawn to Jesus by our compromise. Let me say that again. People that are not Christians around us are not going to be drawn to the Lord by my compromise. There's this trend going on that I've been at times tempted with. It's like, well, in the name of being inclusive and grace and everything, let's just roll with them and talk like they talk and drink what they drink and watch what they watch and listen to what they... Because you know why? Because I don't want to be judgmental. Because I want to blend in, you know? And then I'll go for the kill and tell them about Jesus and repent after I've been behaving like they are. Right? Very effective. Doesn't work. People will not be drawn to the Lord by our compromise. Here's how they're drawn to the Lord. By our character, in our convictions, in our testimony. When they see that that person at the cooler is not laughing at the dirty joke. That's when they go like, that. There's something different about that man, about that lady, about those teenagers. There's something different about him. When your neighbor sees you packing the car on a Sunday morning going to church, they go like, there's something different. They're not sleeping in watching football. Again, I'm going to get a lot of emails, but I'm going to do what Pastor Bill did. Email him, okay? Tell him, hey, okay. They're not going to be drawn to the Lord by our compromise. David, yeah, your party's looking good. Yeah, you got the right people, the new car and everything. It's not bearing any fruit. It's bringing forth death because you're not doing things God's way. The world is not going to be drawn to the Lord by our compromise. Jesus said in John 13, right? 35 is like, they will know that you are Christians by what? Your love for one another. And I was thinking this morning, because, you know, it happens where you're thinking and thinking and thinking about the study. Wasn't Jesus the one that went into the temple and told the money changers, oh, hey, guys, how's the business? Wow, my dad loves it. He got a whip. He drove him out of there. Oh, so judgmental. We're just trying to make an honest living here. No. Yes, he hung out with sinners. True, he sat down and he was judged for it. But he was not acting like they were. He was not like, oh, yeah, cool. Let's change money together so I can build a bridge in the money business. No. He drew the line when the line had to be drawn. Our compromise is not going to draw people to the Lord. Our convictions, our walk with the Lord, our testimony, our witness will. When they see Jesus in you, that's when they go like, there's something different about that group. There's something different about that dad. When they don't hear you curse, you go like, oh, that guy never curses. I wonder why. Or here's why. And then the door opens. I've seen it many, many, many times that in the name of being inclusive and building, I see people going the other way. It's like, that was not the call. And I have to wonder, if David was not the man, right? Because he's the man right now. He's the king. And if he was the humble shepherd that got called out, right, to fight Goliath, if he didn't have the resources that he did at this point, I wonder if he would have gone around to 30,000 people. Hey, can you come to this parade I'm putting together? I wonder if he would have gone to a dealership and said, can you give me a new cart? No. He probably would have just been like, okay, what does the word say? But you see, it could be dangerous because if we become complacent and if we have more resources so we can do it better and we push away what the Word of God says, there's that room for error. And that's when problems begin. And now we have Uzzah who's dead. Verse 8. Then David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. Verse 9, David was afraid of the Lord that day And he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? Two reactions David had. Angry and scared. And he asked this question, the million-dollar question, if you will. How can the ark of the Lord come to me? Now, remember, the ark of the Lord represented God's presence. And David wanted the right thing. He just didn't go about it the right way. Verse 10. So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Hittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Hittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now, a little insight in this man, Obed-Edom. He was a Levite, check, and he was also a Kohathite, double check. Oh, whoa, David. You sent the ark to somebody who is, by the law, allowed to move it. Interesting, David. For 3 months, the ark is there. Now, if you were Obed-Edom, would you be like, wait a minute, so this ark just killed somebody?
Yep.
And you're sending it to me. Mm-hmm. Thanks, man. Right? I'm not touching that thing. Well, you shouldn't. But look what it says. The Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom for those 3 months, and him and all his household. Why is that? Because wherever the presence of the Lord is, there is blessing. I think that's a principle. I really do. We have Jesus in us. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, aren't we? 1 Corinthians 3:16 dwells in us. So this means by default, and this is not a weird theology or anything. This is a true statement. If you're a Christian, Jesus is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you, which means that wherever you are, the Lord is, right? Nothing weird there. Okay, so when I go into a place, I bring the Lord with me, okay? No wonder Obed-Edom was blessed, because the presence of the Lord was there. See, I hear from time to time of Christians, oh, I got the award. Oh, I passed. Oh, I got the job. Oh, I got the promotion. And you know, I don't mean to sound weird on this one, but I'm not surprised. Because the Lord is in you. Because you're following what the Lord says. The Holy Spirit is alive and breathing and living through you. Of course, there's blessing where you go. Joseph, Genesis 39:5, right? What does it say? I'll read it. It says, so it was from the time that he had made him overseer, this is Joseph, of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. By default, by having a God-fearing man in his house, there was blessing. Because the blessing is not geographically, the blessing is in us, upon us. So wherever we go, we bring the Lord's blessing. And again, I'm not in the least shocked when I hear Christians that are doing well where the Lord has placed them. So I say all that to say this. Your workplace should be a better place when you're there. Your neighborhood should be a better place because you're there. Your church should be a better place because you are there. You should be a blessing. People should be drawn to you, and they don't even know what it is. It's because of the Lord in you. Your classroom should be a better place because you're there. Because you bring in Jesus into that atmosphere. When people see you, they should see something different because it's Christ in you. Verse 12. Now it was told King David, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And here we go. Here's the reset button. And so it was that when those what? Bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. So 3 months it took David to figure this whole thing out. The last question, how am I going to bring this ark? He gets a report. Man, Obed is blessed. I wonder if he went back to basics. I wonder if he read the Torah. He went to Numbers. He's like, oh, this is how we do it. That's what the Lord said. It's not about the parade. It's not about the new cart. It was to be carried by the Kohathites on their shoulders. That's how we do this. We see, he hit the reset button. Now, Raul, where are you going with this whole reset button? It doesn't make sense. Okay, here it is. Is the world talking about a great reset? Have you guys heard that one? The great reset? Everybody's, it's a financial thing they're trying to do. Oh, this is a great opportunity to do the great reset. And people are rattled. Could be scary. I don't know. But I like this reset better. See, David had been going. He hit the bump right on the threshing floor, and it's like time to reel everything back down to the Word of God, to basics. It's time to hit the reset button. I have to ask. Perhaps this 2020, this corona pandemic that has rattled all of us, perhaps has been a reset button for the church. Perhaps, I don't know. We were just going in a jolly way. And the Lord is like, reboot. Back to basics. What's the back to basics? The great commandment, the great commission, right? Go into all the world. Baptizing. In the name of the Father, the Holy Spirit. Telling everybody. That's the basics. That's what the church is here to do. That's what we are here to do. To evangelize. To pray for the lost. That's it. Not to create a production so that people are entertained. Not to tell people, oh, it's all good in the hood. No. It's to tell them, well, what was John the Baptist's first words? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I wonder if this is not a season to that we have pushed the reset button in our own lives and say, yeah, I've blown the lines. I've compromised, and it's time to reset this thing and do things God's way, not my way, not my friend's way, not the popular way, but God's way. What if? I have to ask. God will allow us from time to time to hit a bump. Now you may say, well, that's not a God of love. Why would he allow your cart to get stumbled? Why would he allow you to hit the wall? Well, it's very simple. I have four kids. And sometimes one of them or all four of them at once go unhinged. They behave erratically. They bonk each other with a toy or slam a door. Ooh, I love it when they slam a door. You know, I just go like, oh, let's put a stopper on the door so when you slam it, it doesn't make a noise. Yeah, right. You should see Pastor Raul when a door slammed. You'd be like, ooh, I wonder about him. I discipline my kids. Because I love them. Because I know if I allow that erratic behavior of 9 and 8 and 5 and 2, I know the path they're going to walk on when they go unchecked. And they're going to be worse, and they're going to be giving the junior high pastor guy a hard time. And right now, that's me. And I don't want that. But I am teaching. Yes, it hurts to lose the privilege for a week or two. Yes, it hurts to take the toy away, and it hurts when I use the wooden spoon. Oh, Raul, you're the Word of God. Basics. But what it's doing to them, my kids, is shaping them and helping them and put them on a path when they grow up, they're respectful of others. When they say thank you. When they go, yes, okay, and they respect the authority. I want my kids to respect me so that when they get pulled over one day, they respect that police officer. You see? If I let them go crazy, right? God will allow a bump on the road from time to time in our lives to get us back Are they painful? Yes. I'm going to be very vulnerable right now. But in this last 2020, this year, I can think of two instances when the Lord allowed a wall, not a bump, a wall to hit me square in the face. And it was so humbling. You know, especially when you're a minister, you go like, oh, I didn't see that. And you're apologizing. And you're like, man, I'm back to square zero here. Start all over again. Two instances this year alone that the Lord by his grace allowed me to see. And you know what? Was it painful? Yes. Was it humbling? True. Was it pleasant? No. But was it necessary? Absolutely. You see, we never want to come to a place where we think we have it figured out. We don't want to be throwing the parade or making deals with people without asking the Lord, Lord, what do I do here? Look, how do we go about this? We don't want to be like, oh, I'm Mr. Pastor, I'm Mr. Ministry Person, so therefore I do everything right. No. No. We want to be at a place where, like they just did, every six steps, this is a 10-mile journey, about six steps. Right? Okay. Sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2, what does it say? I beseech you, brethren, now by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice. I think there is something to be drawn from this. And I got to finish quickly here. That every 6 hours, every 6 minutes, every 6 seconds, where we reset, Lord, here I am. Burn away whatever doesn't belong here. Get rid of it. Cleanse me. Psalm 139:23. This is David writing. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a wise prayer to pray every day. Search me, Lord. There's a lot of junk all around me. Search me. See if there's any wicked way in me. Anything that, a root of bitterness, anything that's spring, and lead me in, snip it, and lead me in the way everlasting. Wise thing to say. Now, it says, verse 14, then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. And no doubt David was happy. Now it's working. The ark is coming home. The presence of the Lord is coming to the tabernacle. We got it. It took us 3 months. We're doing it the right way. Thank you, Lord. He was excited. He was dancing. And now he has no credit to take, but to say, Lord, this is you. You told me how to do it. This is your word. We did it the way you said. Look, it's working. It's incredible when you do things God's way and it works. One, you don't take credit for it. And two, you go like, God is faithful because his word doesn't change. Look at this. Now, verse 16, I'm going to read a big portion here. It says, now the ark of the Lord, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, which is David's wife, looked through the window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. And she, what? Despised him in her heart. So they brought up the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people and the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said,
how glorious is the King of Israel, King, uncovering himself today in the eyes of...
Sorry. In my mind, I saw it going a different way, but anyway... How glorious is the King of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants as one of base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. David is so happy. The presence of the Lord is coming home. I'm dancing. I'm so blown away. God is so good. I learned. I'm back to basics. He takes care of people. He gives them bread and raisins and meat. And then he comes home after a great victory. to bless his household, and out comes his wife and just grills him. There's a principle here. Often after a victory, a move of the Lord, often there will come something that tries to discourage, or someone who tries to discourage you. Happened to Elijah, didn't it? There in 1 Kings 18, the prophets of Baal, he literally sees fire come from him, burn everything up. And then what? A threat, a discouragement word came from Jezebel. And he's hiding now. He's done. That is like a principle. The other day, a friend of mine says, you preach on Sunday and you get attacked on Monday. So don't send me an email tomorrow. Wait till Tuesday. Kidding. But there is a principle here. That years ago, at the church I was in California, we were going through the Gospel of Luke. And I was so excited that day to share with the youth, Luke 19. And, you know, we were talking, I think it's Luke 19, yeah, the prodigal son. And I was so excited. So, oh, man. And it's one of those rare times that you're really excited because it's usually like you're so nervous. And we got through the service, and I think it went really well. The kids actually didn't throw anything at me that day. Nice. That was a joke. Okay. And when we finished the service, when we're going home after a nice, you know, ministry, and we come to the car, and my window's smashed, and my wallet is stolen. Right at church. Outside of church. And all that joy, and all the, gone. I'm on the phone. Credit cards are being charged, calling, canceling things. It was just so depressing. Eli was just a little guy. We're trying to rig up the car to go home. It was so downing, you know. And I'm like, well, it happens. It's just the territory. You have a great, you know, conversation with somebody. You lead someone to the Lord. And then the next thing you know, your boss calls you in and you're done. It's like, how does this, or problems at home, or your kids go crazy. There's a principle here, and it happens. Verse 21, so David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel that I dance for, right? Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor. Verse 23, therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of. Now, it doesn't say that she was barren from the time David said that. It could be that David divorced her or left her. But I think there's another principle here that we got to talk about. Every time I'm cynical and critical of people, it brings forth barrenness in my soul. I have been, sad to say, critical. And you know, when I'm coming down on somebody and saying, well, that's wrong because of this and that's wrong because of that, there is no joy. There's no fruit. There's nothing good in me. I feel worse than before I open my mouth or judge them in my heart. Michal here is barren. No kids, which in the culture was looked down upon. She was the daughter of Saul. I mean, think about it. You're married to the man, King David. I think there's a principle here of how I need to be careful when I'm cynical and critical of people in ministry and how they do things. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 2:2, I'm determined to know nothing among you except Jesus and him crucified. That's it. Paul was so wise. Like, I don't want to know anything about you except Jesus and him crucified. That's it. I'm just going to keep it there. You're a Christian. Let God be the judge. Let God be the one that convicts you, not me. Let God be the one that tells you what you're doing wrong, not me. Let God do it. Oh, you love Jesus? Great. Let's start there. I don't want to know. No, Jesus. Okay, excellent. So, as we wrap up this 2020, maybe this year reminded us what really is important in our lives. I know for me it's health, my family. That's what's important. Jesus. Maybe when we hit that bump there in March and our world was turned upside down, maybe we found ourselves hitting that reset button. Maybe we need to hit the reset button as we start 2021. I'm not a big guy on resolutions, but I'm good asking the Lord to do something. Maybe this is for you or somebody listening on the lines. Like, yeah, I've been blurring the lines. I've been going my own way. It's time to hit the reset and go back to the Word. I don't know. I love this text. Micah 6:8 says, He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You take those three, you're good. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. This world needs you. This world needs what you have in you, which is Jesus. Those neighbors need you. Those co-workers need you to not be compromising, but to live for the Lord. Because we have a dying world, a hopeless world that's dying. And they're looking for hope. And we have that Christ in us, the hope of glory. Are you in a place maybe like David, where you've gone your own way and now death has come to relationships? Hit the reset button. Ask the Lord. Come back. Can I pray for you today? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. That's you. I want to pray for you. Maybe you're here listening online. You go like, Raul, you're talking about this ark, and I don't know anything about the ark. I've heard about Jesus, but I don't know. And maybe you have to hit the repent reset button in your life. When you turn from your sins and you ask God to forgive you and to give you hope, the hope that I've been sharing about Christ in us. I don't know what 2021 will be like, but I know we have to be more in tune into the Lord than we ever have. We really want to seek counsel. Every decision we make, because only He knows the future. And if, back to the rapture, I don't know about you, but I'm looking. I'm looking. I'm like, driving here, I'm like, Lord, right now is cool too. Let's go. It's ready. Look up. Our redemption may be closer than we. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that everything that was just shared, whatever it was, and if there was anything that wasn't from you, Lord, not to even stick to our heads or minds, Lord, only what's from you. Lord, I thank you that you've carried us through these 9 months, and I know you're faithful, and you'll carry us through whatever is ahead of us. But Lord, as we face a new year, I do ask that you would, Lord, allow us, that you will reset our lives if they need to be. That if some of us here have compromised and perhaps just blurred the lines and we're just not doing things your way, Lord, even right now as we pray, that you would, Lord, do a work in us. That we will walk out these doors not with a resolution, Lord, but just a desire to please you and honor you and seek you and pray more and read more than we ever had and be a light to the people to the left and to the right all around our worlds. Lord, bless your people, I ask. Help us to be more and more and more in tune into what you're doing. And Lord, save now. Maranatha, save now. Save the lost in our family. Save the lost in our neighborhood. Save the lost at our workplace, Lord. Help us as that light that we are to be that light. And Lord, I pray that you restore. I pray that you heal. If we have compromised and things have just died, Lord, heal. So as our eyes are closed, heads bowed, if there anyone in this room, I just want to go home today and be like, yes, I gave you. Anyone in this room says, you know what? I need to hit the reset button. I need to walk with the Lord again. I need to do things right. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right where you are, and I want to pray for you. That's it. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Lord, you see these hands, and you know their thoughts, their hearts. You know their lives. You're acquainted with all their ways. From this moment, Jesus, I pray that you just fill these, your kids, your with your Spirit. Lord, that the lines, Lord, they will go back to the Word and honor you with everything that they do, that you restore the dead relationships, the blown testimonies, the blown witnesses. You restore, and that you help these, your kids, walk with you and honor you. Fill in with your Spirit. Work in us, for without you we can't do nothing. And Lord, if there's anyone in this room that doesn't know you, I pray that even right now they'll pray as we pray. Help me, church. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for dying for me. I ask you, save me. I ask you, forgive my sins. And I ask you, give me a new life. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth, Jesus, you are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Jesse's going to close. And if you need prayer, we're here. It's a smaller crowd, but we're here. And the Lord is here. So God bless you. Have a happy new year. And we will see you in 2021.
Let's sing. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. He's so good to me. And I love him so. Bless you, church. Be safe going home. God bless. Well, good morning, church. It's so good to see you today. Welcome to Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. Pray you are doing well today. And it's so good to see you. Welcome, welcome. Well, let's open our service in prayer. Lord, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We thank you for your love, Lord, your goodness. And Lord, we thank you for another week you've blessed us with, Lord, especially on this beautiful day you've given us, Lord. Lord, we worship you. And we love you so much, Lord, for your goodness, Lord. Our hearts are yours this morning. Fill our hearts, Lord, with your peace and your love. As we lift our voices to you, we give you praise in Jesus' name, and we all say, amen. Come, let us sing for joy. Let us shout aloud to our King. Come, let us worship God, lifting holy hands to bless His name. Yes, Lord, we give you praise. With you again to worship with one voice in adoration, for you deserve our every praise that echoes in this place. You're the worthy one. Let's sing it, church, and come. Let us sing for joy. Let us shout aloud to our King. And come, let us worship God, lifting holy hands to bless His name. Lord, we come with gratitude that flows from deep within our soul. We rejoice in you, and we will glory in your name. If the shout our lips proclaim, the praise is stirring in our hearts. To come, let us sing for joy. Let us shout aloud to our King. And come, let us worship God, lifting holy hands to bless His name. Yes, Lord, we give you praise. We worship you, Lord. Sing it together. Let every creature in heaven and earth below bless His name. Bless His name. Yes, Lord, we do. Let every creature in heaven and earth below bless His name. Bless His name. Shout it out, church. Let every creature in heaven and earth below bless His name. Bless His name. Let every creature in heaven and earth below bless His name. Bless His name. And come and come. Joy. Let us shout aloud to our King. Oh, and come, let us worship God, lifting holy hands to bless His name. God, we come to bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Your holy name.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, we love you, Lord, and we praise you. We praise you for your goodness. Church, just continue to worship him and sing together. Amen.